What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua, Adam, well, I'm always not with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
It's going all right, Joel, and it's, you know, we're going to try to get back to having frequent podcasts again. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Since we've had, there was a point there where we were giving you podcasts every single week, but life happens. And I think now that you and I are settled in a little bit to more of what schedules are going to be, can't promise anything, but I think it's looking good that we can start coming back and giving We Talk and the One Fall fans a more consistent wrestling podcast.
I think that's possible. We'll see, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but we'll...
Like I said, card subject to change, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the biggest news story of the day. There was a few. Let's go as far as the results for the WWE. Jason Jordan had neck surgery. We're not sure how long he's out for, but you know more of the details than this, so dish.
So, well, I don't know any of the details. Everything's just speculation, but he had surgery. That's as much as we definitely know, and it sounds like it was a minor evasive surgery to release pressure.
So kind of like Kurt before Mania versus Brock?
Yeah.
All right.
So he's got that, but there are rumors floating around that he may need complete reconstructive surgery of his neck. So, when your character is the son of Kurt Angle, I guess your neck has to be screwed up.
Apparently, it's almost too perfect. We all thought it should be Gable, but maybe Jordan was the perfect pick.
Yeah, I feel really bad because he was very much getting over the daddy's boy, whiny heel. He was getting tremendous heel heat. And it wasn't the Roman Reigns, go away, get off my TV heat. It was actual shut up heat. We don't like you. Shut up,
and I want to see you get beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now we lose out on that. But obviously, a neck health comes first. This leaves some questions in the air now, for sure. The first question is going to be, where does Seth go from here? And is Seth Rollins cursed? Because this is a second tag team partner to go out with a potentially long-term injury.
Yeah, because Seth was slated to face Dean at Mania, if I'm not mistaken. That had came out that it was supposed to be him and Dean, which would have been a fun match. We've seen it before. Him and Jordan was an interesting match if we would have gotten there. And now I don't know what it is. Could we potentially see Seth versus Kurt?
I don't know. That could definitely be a possibility. I've heard Kurt Angle floated around as the replacement for Rocky because Rocky and insurance get along. So I imagine that may be where they get slotted. But
I mean, you have the Kurt and the Hunter thing there, but you also could have something where Seth gets mad and says Kurt knew all along what his son was doing, and that would make for a better match. And I know when Kurt had been lifting off people in the past of who he wanted to face, Seth was near the top of that list.
Yeah. I definitely think that Seth Rollins is... he'd be able to definitely help Kurt because we've seen glimpses of Kurt in the ring and it hasn't been exactly Kurt Angle.
No.
And the Flames just scored a go-ahead goal.
So. Cool. I can't really think of any other opponent you can really do with Seth, unless, I mean, if you're going to move him to a Bray Wyatt or to a Matt Hardy, but I think they're going to kind of do their thing going into WrestleMania. Maybe you move Strowman to him, but again, I don't know if that's a feud that I want to work and see, but I guess if the rumors are true that maybe they're going to go with Finn and Miz now, maybe you go Strowman and Rollins.
Yeah, you're going to have to find places to slot guys. I'm a little surprised they didn't try to slot Seth into the Elimination Chamber.
That's what I thought was going to happen. And I thought that maybe we'll start the progression of Finn and Miz, because I think that's where that's going now.
Yeah. Oh, might not be a good goal.
So, with the Jordan injury, though, how much does this hurt him when he comes back? Is this one of those injuries that you see that could push a guy back? When he gets back, he could be lost in the shuffle? Because you're saying he was just off on a point where he was starting to find himself as a character. And I wonder if this is the guy with all the people that you have coming up from NXT and who knows who else will be the company in the next few years. Is this an ill-advised time to be out? I mean, you have to get better, obviously. But with what the roster could be like with guys like Velveteen and Adam Cole and Almost and Black and others that may sign Ricochet. You got to think for him, it's a bad time to come out with all that other talent that could be coming up.
It's definitely, I think with him, I think they had earmarked him. They really liked Jordan, and I think there was a sign that they really wanted to go with him forward. Will they be a little bit skeptical on the neck? Yes, but we haven't seen neck injuries necessarily stop a WWE push. If this was his second or third concussion, then this would be, I feel, a different conversation. But I think if he got the proper surgery and he can come back, I think it's instantly into a program with Rollins. He can attack Rollins, or he can attack Kurt. He can have some sort of, you know, I busted my back and I hurt my neck because of you. Or you can have something with Kurt Angle, and obviously your genes are really weak. That's why my neck went. This is your fault, Kurt. You didn't take care of me. You didn't protect me. So you've got a couple heel programs to introduce. Typically when someone comes off an injury, they usually get a babyface reaction. Look at Seth and Finn in the last couple years as two prime examples. But I do think that you can have him introduced again, and I think the fans can remember him. But you are right that there is could be potentially a loss in the shuffle, but I just think this was a guy that was kind of marked to be pushed more. I think Vince really likes him. So I think as long as you've got that, and you can if he's gone for a whole year, then that's obviously changing the conversation as well.
Yeah, like I said, with all that talent from NXT, which has absolutely reloaded the shelf again, it's going to be interesting to see where he is, and especially if, you know, that Kurt program, where Kurt's going to be in a year of time. Another guy I was thinking about for Seth could be Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
I know they had that one feud in the mid-spring there. It never really jumped off anywhere. Yeah. You can retell that story about he almost hurt him and injured him, and they never really got to really launch a program, and I think that's a program that could lead to a good match at WrestleMania still.
Yes, and that's kind of what you're aiming towards now. You're aiming towards, now that the plans are starting to fall apart, you're going to have to kind of start penciling people into different spots, because Vince likes to get almost everyone on Mania.
Yeah, well, that's why we're hearing that the women are going to have a battle royal themselves now, right?
It makes sense. If you have two battle royals to kick the show off, on the pre-show, it's a two-hour pre-show, so it's easy enough to do, and then you can have a match on there. I don't know. I mean, this is gonna be really interesting how they approach things and how they do things with Rollins. Like, this is, we had stuff earmarked, and now things are no longer earmarked. So this makes it really interesting for us.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think we can all say really quickly as we go and,
just because I'm watching 205 Live, and I'll let you finish your thought, but Roderick Strong just beat Deo Tommy.
I thought he might.
So, I guess, since we brought it up, Mark Andrews from the UK
tournament. Yeah, he'll be facing Tozawa next week.
Yeah, and Gulak's facing Nice.
Yeah, I want to talk about 205 Live. There was a few noteworthy things on 205 Live.
Just quickly, because I brought it up, what does this mean for Hideo? Where do they see him?
That's a good question, because you and I had thought that he was going to the finals for sure.
Yeah.
Now that he's not, I wonder, you know, talking about Jordan and injuries, you have to wonder if they just look at him as injury prone and they don't want to take the risk.
Does he go back to Japan?
I think he will eventually, yeah. It's a lost opportunity. The question is, he's been more of a Noah guy. Does he take advantage of the boom in New Japan?
I would, but I mean, you just don't know what the interest is. You don't know how much loyalty there is down in, this was a guy that they sent Hulk Hogan to sign the contract for. Mm-hmm. So for him to now be at this point, like, you remember how much hype he had? Like, this guy had...
Well, he's one of the best. I mean, you look at CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. They stole all of his moves.
Yeah. Like, he...
I'm happy for Roddy. It's weird, though, because that's a guy...
Nope.
That's a guy, no spoilers, but spoilers, that has a match at NXT TakeOver. That's why I didn't think Roddy would be going that far in this. He's facing Adam Cole.
Baby.
So that is interesting, the fact that he could be having two matches WrestleMania week. I don't know. It's very interesting that Hideo lost, though. And I wonder, like, and it's not like what they did on Raw, where there's a second chance opportunity, right?
Yeah.
So this isn't all. It's all very interesting.
And that's a thing now where, talking with, looking at everything with Hideo, that's a guy that I think both of us had earmarked for big things. Like, he was in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale, the first WrestleMania you and me watched together, which was WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
He was, you saw it and you felt it, that the machine was firmly behind him.
Well, when they got Steen, Devitt, and Kenta, it was like, I don't know what's going to happen with Steen.
Yeah.
Because they've just never had a guy like that since really Punk that had that attitude. And so we were very numb on what they would do with Kevin Steen, and it's obviously worked out. Devitt, you and I thought, had a better chance. And yeah. Kenta was just like, oh, well, you know, it's a perfect chance to hit the international market, and they seem really high. And like you said, to go and get Hogan and do all this stuff behind, I was like, okay, well, that guy's going to definitely work out and have some good feuds. And when he came onto Raw, the debut, it was a really good debut. They're going to pencil him back to the main roster now? I don't know.
Maybe that's Seth's program.
Not a bad program.
No, maybe that's the decision that Kent is like, no, I can be anywhere, and he goes and faces Seth.
It was a weird first round matchup when I saw it.
Yeah, that seems like a semis, like that, like the Mark Andrews and Tozawa. I figure that Tozawa is gonna win, but that Mark Andrews is a really good talent. So
yes, yeah, and Tozawa cut a really good promo on 205 Live too. Actually, I would say out of the imports from Japan that they've had between Asuka, Hideo, Nakamura, Tozawa has grasped the English language the best so far.
Yes, I would agree with you.
He's done a really, really good job. And don't get me wrong, I know it's incredibly hard. Like, I can't imagine having to go to Japan to learn Japanese. But his promo was really good in English, and I was very impressed, because I remember doing the Cruiserweight talent tournament. He couldn't talk a lick of English at that point. So good for him in a year and a half to be able to really accelerate learning English.
And it helps that he's got really good friends like Ricochet, Apollo, and that whole crew. Because I imagine that's definitely a good influence on him for the English language.
I would say, like, it's important, you know, we never got a really chance to really talk about it with Royal Rumble Week and everything, but Enzo put a huge cloud in this. Vince was done. He wanted to cancel it. And bringing in Drake Maverick really gave it a new set of life. The tournaments brought a new set of life into this. I watched 205 today for the first time, excited to want to watch it. Like, I'd watched it once or twice to the beginning, but I actually wanted to watch 205 live. And one of the reasons is I wanted to see Hideo versus Roderick Strong, which was exciting. It gets to the point where we get scared, like, oh no, Roderick Strong's going to go to 205 Live. Oh no, Pete Dunne may go there. Ricochet may go there. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a good thing to put them there. And I think with inserting Drake Maverick and the promo that he cuts on Gulak and Tony Nese was awesome. And it really felt like this is the new 205 Live. We're going to focus more on Reign. Dorado and Kalisto had a very good match as well. I never finished the Kenta and Roddy match, but I'm sure, it was a great match as well.
Oh, yeah. Hard-hitting, stiff, blonde.
Yeah. And it feels like they're turning a corner in the history of that. And I think having Drake Maverick there is a big part, because that guy can cut a great promo. I wish he was in commentary, because I thought he did a great job on commentary on Monday Night Raw as well. He has a chance to be the best non-wrestling performer and really turn something that... It started with Neville, and he did a really good job, and then they brought Enzo in just for the views. But now they have a chance to go back to the core of what the wrestling is, and you have a guy that can really guide you there. And if you, I know you didn't get a chance to see the Drake Maverick promo, but really, necessarily, he called out Tony Nese for being a goof and called out Gulak for being a goof and said, you're one of the strongest competitors to Tony Nese and to Gulak. He's like, you were one of the hardest hitting competitors, and now you're just a goof that does PowerPoint presentations and comes around to signs. I don't want to see that. I want to see what you brought in the Cruiserweight Classic in the ring. So next week we have Tony Nese and Drew Gulak, and just that little time backstage got me excited for that match, and you know, the Mark Andrews match as well. So we have matches again that I kind of want to see on 205 Live, and I think that's really important that you want to see these matches. They're original, and you were kind of interested now leading to WrestleMania, who will be in this match?
Yeah, and this is the biggest thing that was lacking, and I'm going to ask you, and I'll give my take on it. Do you think that they can rebuild this Cruiserweight division solely on wrestling?
I think they can. I think they needed someone like Drake Maverick. By the way,
he's a good mouthpiece.
Rockstar Spud is so much easier to say because you're so used to saying it. I wish they didn't say that he used to be Rockstar Spud. But with Drake, I'm just going to call him Drake for now because it's just easier than saying his full name. But with Drake, he is a good mouthpiece and he's a good promoter for the product. It's like with Heyman, right?
Yeah.
Heyman is just such a good guy to motivate and push things. And with that Drake thing back there, that was the first time I seen anything. It's like, this is why I should watch 205 Live. There was a cell phone video with Cedric and Mustafa Ali that I really liked this episode of 205 Live. And it was the first time in a while, other than last week I just watched the beginning promo and then I got back to it. But I wanted to watch 205 Live tonight. And yeah. I haven't said that in a long time. I wanted to see what was going on with the tournament. And I wanted to see this Roddy and Hideo match. And they did a really good job tonight with 205 Live. It could turn into appointment viewing if they keep it up. And bringing Mark Andrews in, who could be a talent that you can see. And whoever week to week now, I'm like, who is the next mystery guy? Will it be Johnny Gargano? Will it be maybe Ciampa? We'll do one of these. I don't think Ciampa will. I don't know what the leg is, but maybe Ricochet could pop up on one of these. Maybe Rey Mysterio. That's an exciting thing as well. You don't know who these extra slots are going to be filled by.
Yeah, and that's something that you can kind of grab to. Don't build it on that. Build it on the quality matches, because I think you get the quality matches, and then I think once you've built on some of the quality matches, I think you can build some of these characters.
Absolutely.
And I think Gulak, yeah, keep Gulak goofy, but also have Drake Maverick be the guy that kind of keeps everyone on the straight and narrow and is just a GM. There's no schnick to him. There's no heel face. It's just a guy coming in and trying to help push the product forward. And that,
yeah.
With Enzo, you got a very erratic, all over the place, like from his promos to the way he behaved, it was all over the place, but it was a heel. I think with having someone like Maverick who can just kind of go through things, it makes it easier, because then you can just kind of straight line to where 205 Live has to go.
And this is the most you and I would even say, in a personal conversation that we have day to day about wrestling, have talked about 205 Live.
Yeah.
And that's a very good thing. And you're going to the biggest pay-per-view of the year in WrestleMania. I would even, if they can, maybe have one or two of the matches in Elimination Chamber, even in the pre-show.
I think they will. I think
To really highlight what the tournament is. They should. They definitely should.
Do you have this tournament running all the way to Mania, or do you have
That's the plan. That's the plan, I think. Or are you saying, like, have a few weeks beforehand to hype it up?
Hype it up, yeah.
Yeah, if I could, I'd like to hype it up. I mean, I don't know what the bracket is. The bracket hasn't been released, right? So
yeah. I think we'll see the bracket in the next round.
Yeah, once the next round comes, we'll see what the bracket is. I would assume, you and I always assumed that Cedric was going to the finals. I just thought Hideo was going to be there as well.
Yeah, so is definitely...
That's really interesting. I don't know what the future for Hideo or Tommy is. Or they're just worried about the injuries. It could just be something as simple as that.
Yeah. But we've got... this is the most we've talked about 205 Live.
I know. Well, let's move on. Good job by 205 Live. We talked about the Jordan injury. Monday Night Raw, for the most part, you know, it was pretty... I said to you, it's pretty paint by numbers for the most part. I thought one of the highlights to me was Bayley, though. She had a really good match against Asuka and an interesting promo with Sasha. Do you think that we're going to get Sasha and Bayley one-on-one at Mania?
No.
You think they'll just be part of the Battle Royal?
Yep.
Or are they going to be slotted against Bliss?
I don't think so. I think Bliss will be Nia, and we've talked about a bit about this, but I think it's going to be Bliss and Nia, and then I think it's going to be Asuka and Charlotte.
See, I think those matches make sense, but I think there should be a third women's match, and I think it should be Bayley and Sasha, because out of all those matches, I'm excited for. They've done a decent job of building up Nia and Bliss. I don't think it'll be a good match, but you know the friendship and everything there, you can tell a good story. Asuka and Charlotte, it's arguably the two biggest names in the division outside of Ronda. I guess you have a third match already with the rumor tag match with Stephanie and Ronda involved in it. But I think Sasha Bayley, it tells the best story out of anything and will be the best match because they've proven that they could have the best match on a card that features guys like Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, and Finn Balor.
Yeah.
So I hope that they get that. I hope they're not just some other women in the Battle Royal because they deserve the opportunity to face off against each other.
Oh, yeah. No, I think they could have a great match, but I do think that they kind of have their set matches already.
Well, and the question is, too, like, who's going to win Elimination Chamber? Like, Sasha seems like the most obvious because she seems like she's found her heel character again, which she desperately needed more than anyone. But I look at that, and I'm like, I don't want Mandy Rose. I don't want Sonya Deville. I could see a scenario where Asuka beats Nia, and you pointed this out earlier, where, you know, we have a scenario when Edge attacked Kofi to get into the chamber, that I could see Nia attack Mickie James. Or maybe a Sonya or a Mandy to get into the chamber.
It'll
probably be Bayley, for all we know.
We know who's winning the Elimination Chamber already. It's Bliss, because it's for her title.
Oh, right. I keep on forgetting about that.
So she's going to retain there.
Right.
And then when we get to... it'll come down to that Nia match. Asuka will probably win that, but then they'll just fracture off.
Nia will probably have a really close one against Asuka. And the next night on Raw, they'll be like, oh, Asuka versus Bliss. And then she's like, I'm going to SmackDown, probably.
Yeah.
And then that means, unfortunately, Becky Lynch is still out in the cold.
Yeah. But she's got good puns, so she's fine.
She's got good puns, and she was on the top 10 list.
What do you think of the top 10 list?
It's interesting. I don't want to jump. We'll get to SmackDown in a second. I guess we're on it. I thought the most interesting one was that Randy was at 9, and then Randy put a definite impact on SmackDown tonight, and it seems like he's going to be facing Bobby.
Yeah. Well, I like that. Oh, you put me at 9? Well, I'm going to jump up.
Yeah. Randy versus Bobby, I don't think that'll be the WrestleMania match. I think it's Dolph. Yeah. I don't know where Randy goes at all. That's another guy. It's like, it's weird when you get near the Mania here and there's just so many guys that we don't know where the hell they're going, right? Like, we're pretty sure we know where Cena's going versus Taker. We're pretty sure we know where AJ's going. We're pretty sure we know where Roman's going. We don't know where KO and Sammy are going. I don't know where Strowman's going at this point. You know, we've heard the Miz stuff, but I think it makes more sense to do Miz and Balor, and that seems to start getting some heat. I mean, we've seen all these Big Show social media posts. Do you think we're just going to get Big Show and Braun at WrestleMania?
We potentially could. I was going to ask you, firstly, I like the top 10. I think that's a nice little addition to it.
It'll motivate the guys and the girls in the back. I think it's a motivation.
Now, how much does Brian just do it by himself?
I'd like to believe that it is the superstars, and if it is the locker room that's doing it, I think that's a really good influence of what your peers think about you. And I thought the most interesting one is someone that you and I have just never been high on was Naomi, was number 4. So obviously the locker room really likes Naomi.
Yeah.
And you and I have never – I think she's really athletic, and I think she's got a great personality. You and I have just never really seen it. We would prefer someone like Becky to be ahead of her. But yeah. Or even Carmella. You and I are very high on Carmella right now. But hey, the locker room sees her, and Ty Dillinger coincidentally got number 10. How much that was fixed, I don't really know. But no Ty Dillinger, no Corbin. That's the problem with the SmackDown, right? It's week to week, it's hard to get everybody on that show. Zack Ryder hasn't been on the show. Mojo Riley hasn't been on the show. I mean, we can criticize Raw for being 3 hours, but sometimes these shows kind of need to be... Like, SmackDown would almost be better if it was 3 hours. I hate to admit it. I wouldn't want to sit through it live, but if you had the extra hour, you'd be able to get all these other characters on the show. And like I said about, you look at what NXT has, and we don't know who the call-ups are going to be, but I'm assuming Sanity is going to be one.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to deal with all these other call-ups, and I don't know who's getting cut. And they just keep on signing people. That's why, like, you may be mad if Roderick Strong goes to 205 Live, but I don't know how well he would be able to have a chance in the main roster right now. 205 Live may be good for him just for TV time.
Yeah. And if they're going to push him, then hey.
Exactly. So, and I think that could be Roderick Strong goes. I mean, he could very well have two matches now, WrestleMania week. He could have the NXT match, and he could have one on the pre-show at WrestleMania, because I'd love that Cruiserweight match to be on the main card, but it won't. It'll be on the pre-show.
From
SmackDown, I guess we have the Triple Threat match. I don't think any of us are really thinking too much about that, because it's obviously going to be Nakamura and AJ.
No, Jinder's going to sneak out and steal the title, Josh. It's going to happen.
Yeah. No Jinder on the show either.
They're just
and I don't really think they know what to do with the New Day right now. It's weird.
It's this is what happens when you get a really bloated roster. Mm-hmm. You got guys all over the place that you're like, what do I do with them?
No Carmella tonight either. They don't know what to do with Rusev. I don't think the audience, even during the Shane and the Bryan promo, were chanting Rusev Day, and they really hardly pushed against it, making Rusev lose in a competitive match to Bobby. But still, I don't think they... It's very reminiscent of Bryan a little bit of, it's like, well, we don't want to push this guy like this, so why are you chanting for him?
Yeah.
And I thought in the Royal Rumble, we never talked about this, but I thought they got him... They stopped the chants very smartly, because they started that... They had big entrances come down, and then they started the whole kerfuffle with Matt and Bray to stop the Rusev Day chants right away.
Yeah.
But they don't really know what to do with these Rusev Day chants.
Well, they order 5,000 more calendars, so... And every day is Rusev Day.
It is. Outside of SmackDown...
How do you feel about recording the podcast on Rusev Day?
I feel good. I think we should do it next Rusev Day.
Yeah, and the Rusev Day after.
After that, yeah. That was about it from SmackDown. Just kind of the same thing, paint by numbers. It was a fine show.
What do you think of what they're doing with Bryan?
They have the in-ring line.
What was the in-ring line? I missed that one.
Shane said more or less that since you can't compete in ring, you're living vicariously through Sami and KO. That was the first time on TV that they've really hit Bryan that he can't wrestle. I don't know what that means. I mean, maybe we are doing the Sami KO tag against Shane and Bryan, but I don't know if we would do two McMahon tags, right? Of Shane, the Shane tag, and
that's
then
right.
The Hunter and Steph tag. That I don't know if that really works.
You're right.
Unless their plans are it's a swerve and Ronda's going to face Charlotte.
Who knows what this company will do sometimes? Hey, maybe Bryan will face Nakamura.
Who knows? So that's about it for SmackDown. I don't know. I mean, Fastlane's going to be whatever. These next two pay-per-views, I'm not too excited about them. Are you?
No. But they're there. They'll be fun pay-per-views.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure they'll have some good matches and everything. It's just fun. We're just ready to go. We're just ready to get to Mania now at this point.
Yeah, we're ready for that road and get on that road to WrestleMania.
I mean, even with the Chamber, we know who's going to win it. So it's kind of anticlimactic, right? The women, maybe there'll be a surprise, right? Like maybe Sasha wins it, and maybe it's Sasha and Bayley for the belts.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe that's where we go. And maybe... There's a separate thing with Bliss and Nia in the Battle Royal. I don't think they would have had Bliss be the champion all this time for nothing. But yeah, maybe Bayley wins the title and then Sasha beats the crap out of her. That's a better storyline to me. So there's a little intrigue with the women because of what's going on with Sasha and Bayley right now. But yeah. The men, it's Finn's probably going to win the comeback thing next week for the second opportunity. And then him and Miz will start their stuff in there.
Yeah.
And then Taker may come out and screw Cena. I don't know. Or Cena takes the final pin to Roman. But at the end of the day, Roman's winning to face Brock. We've known this since last April. So we've all kind of accepted it. We're getting Nakamura and AJ. And that's the problem with the Elimination Chamber for the men's side. There's just, we kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Do you have Finn pin Cena?
He should. It's about time. He needs to pin the Miz, though. That's the main one. He needs to pin Miz. Whoever pins Miz will be his program, really. What's Braun going to do to him? What's Finn going to do to Miz? That's the more intriguing thing to me in the Elimination Chamber. Is like, who's pinning Miz to get the Miz program at Mania?
Yeah. And then where's Finn going to go in this shuffle?
And if it's not Finn, then I don't know where Finn goes, because then is Finn going to face Joe or is Finn going to face Seth? Maybe Seth's going to face the Miz.
Maybe. There you go.
That's another. Maybe they're going to make Seth go for the IC title. I don't know.
Then him and Roman can win titles on the same night.
I mean, maybe the plan, Joel, is to have the club versus the New Day for a dream match.
In a promotional match. They'll occasionally have those on these shows. So
yeah, so maybe that's a direction for Finn. And if that's the case, then I don't know where the hell Joe goes. Joe may miss his second WrestleMania and not have a big match.
That's weird.
Like Elias, I love him, but he's going to be in the Battle Royal. And I'm fine with Elias being there. He's done his role really well this year, and he got the big win for Cena. That's great. But Joe, it's weird that he's probably not going to get a Mania thing unless they just want to have a destruction match and go Joe and Braun.
Maybe. That could be
beat the piss out of each other.
That could be an option. That's not a bad option either.
What else from Raw was there? Nothing really, eh? It was not really a newsworthy Raw.
You're like, let's podcast. And it's like, I was sitting there thinking, okay, what are we talking about? There's a lot going on outside of WWE.
That's where I wanted to go. I just wanted to get the WWE stuff done. So let's go outside the WWE. It was fine. Fine week for the WWE. Raw wasn't bad. SmackDown wasn't bad. 205 was enjoyable. It wasn't a bad week by any standards. It just was not an exciting news, super newsworthy week. And we've been used to these news weeks.
Yeah. So to not have it is weird.
It is. Let's talk about outside. And I guess one of the bigger stories outside was just some Young Bucks tweets today.
Yeah. So the Young Bucks, one of the tweets wasn't today, but the Young Bucks had tweeted them asking them if they'll be at Wrestle Kingdom 13. And they sent out a tweet saying, "We don't know. Our contracts are up in November. We'll see how things play out." So,
by the way, side WWE thing, the Miz signed that 4-year deal. Yeah. Just wanted to hit that up, but continue.
So having him sign, have the Bucks, we knew the Bucks contract was up, but we really thought there was no question where they were going, which was to stay with Ring of Honor and continue the run of success that they've had outside of WWE. But now there was a tweet, I don't remember, I think it was sometime last summer, one of the Bucks had said that they don't want to be doing this 5 years from now. Not clear on what in 5 years from now they don't want to do. So does it mean they want to just retire and be the set of wrestlers that never went to WWE? Do they want to take a break from that international travel, those long flights, wrestling in Japan, then wrestling in the States, then wrestling in Chile? They're very busy guys. And then wrestling in Europe and bouncing all over the place. So it makes me wonder where the Young Bucks go next. And you and me have had this conversation many times, but all of the Young Bucks dream matches are sitting in WWE, from the Revival to the New Day to the Usos to Gable and Sheldon. There's a plethora of matches that the Bucks can have that would be really, really, really good matches. And now it's just a matter of wait and see where they go. Obviously, wherever they go, they're going to make money. But it's interesting because you got to think, one of the things that I think both of us have noticed on being the Elite is they sure love their families.
They sure do, yeah.
And how long can you be far away from them? Like, you see Gallows and Anderson posting constantly about his kids and his wife. And, like, every time he posts on Instagram or Twitter or something, it's either him and Balor, him or Anderson, or him and his family. So you really see that this signing for WWE has not been a bad signing for him, because he gets to be home with his kids more. So that's where a lot of guys want to be. So I wonder if the Bucks want that. And you know, guys like AJ, Gallows, Anderson, Finn would go to bat for the Bucks. So now, do we get a bigger the original some more OG members of the Bullet Club?
So you and I have talked about this Bucks thing when they signed the contracts the first time. It, you know, it made no sense why they would sign those ROH deals. But, you know, it makes a lot of sense for Being the Elite was a good idea, and they continue to get promotion through the roof for everything. And, no. I mean, All In should be really interesting, but there's just no one for them to feud with. And you go to the Fed, and you get the Usos, and you get the Revival, and you get the Bar, and you get the New Day, and War Machine again. The list goes on and on. Sanity. The Undisputed. There's just so many more feuds for them to have in the WWE.
They can face the ghost of Adam Cole.
They could, yeah.
So I completely agree, but I mean it's when November rolls. The last half of this year is going to be very interesting because there are a couple contracts up from September all the way to November. We have Daniel Bryan's contract, we have the Young Bucks, and we have Kenny's contract. And yep. Those are three big name guys for professional wrestling. So where those three go is very important to pay attention to. I'm going to ask you now, we are several months away from this happening, before Final Battle for Ring of Honor. That would probably be the Bucks' last show if they were there. Do you think they re-sign with Ring of Honor, or do you think they jump to the Fed?
Right now, I say they re-sign.
Re-sign? Okay. We'll see how things
go. I think the smarter decision for them is that, but I also see, wow, what they've done in the independents. They'd be giving up some. They probably be, it's funny that they'd probably be losing money by going to WWE.
Yeah.
Because Hot Topic deal is gone, and how much would Pro Wrestling Tees be upset about losing the Young Bucks?
That's a major, major merchandise mover.
I mean, these guys have Funko Pops coming out in the summertime.
Which they will be buying.
It's unbelievable that these guys aren't part of the WWE, and they are going to have their own Funko Pops, which is, you know, not a big deal to some people, but it's pretty impressive that you're not in a really a major promotion. You're in an indie, like Rosenberg thinks that Reign of Honor is, and you're in Japan that not many people in this country really get to see, and you're getting your pretty much your own action figure for not being in the bigger global ambassador. That's it's like being in Turkey. It's like Stefan Marbury, who plays in China and is a big star in China, and getting his own set of collectibles. It doesn't happen. He's a big deal over there, but the Bucks have just done such a good job marketing themselves and promoting themselves. And I think that's a really big tool. And if WWE can get them, that is a big gorilla off of the WWE's back, because you know that they probably get sick of hearing about the Young Bucks and how well they're doing at Hot Topics and all that. And that's the big white whale for them is Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. Marty's great. I love Marty, but and Marty probably will eventually end up there, but those are the guys. They want the Bucks and they want Kenny Omega. Those are the two white whales they want to get. Ricochet was a big get for them, but the Bucks and Omega are the two white whales right now for that company.
Yes. And whether there's one white whale that might not join. There's one white whale where there's a tag team that's a white whale that might come. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to see how this all plays out. And I mean, how much do you think Vince is very much aware about All In?
I would assume Hunter maybe told him, but I don't know how aware he is because this guy's got the XFL going on right now as well. He's prepping for Mania. I would be, unless Hunter or someone really got his ear about it, I don't know how much he really cares about it. If you know this drug free thing on Being the Elite is about Punk, then he'll add the attention will be there. But we'll see what happens with Punk in Chicago first. If Punk wins that fight, I don't think he'll be there.
Yeah, if he doesn't, then
if Punk loses, then the question will be for Punk. And by the way, he's not confirmed for Chicago yet. But if Punk loses his next fight, then he's obviously done in the UFC. I guess it depends how bad he loses, but I would assume that he's done.
Yeah.
And because he's going to get the one more big draw of second chance opportunity, right? You know, it was his first fight, and he got smashed. He was just into the sport. If Punk has a chance to come and win, and do this fight, and if Punk goes five rounds and he holds his own, then I'm sure the UFC will keep him. But if Punk gets demolished again, Dana's cutting his ass.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens with him. Then we'll see if Scott Coker or Bellator want to sign him, which I would kind of be shocked if they didn't. But I think another thing, too, for Punk is how well Jack Swagger does in Bellator.
Yeah.
If Swagger does really bad, then how much will Bellator... And Scott Coker seems to like having just names.
Yeah.
How well will that fit into it? So that's... I think Punk going to All In or Brian going to All In is going to be the thing that really resonates and gets his attention the most. I think Hogan being there, which I think is a huge potential now, is something that will get Vince's attention as well.
Yeah. Anything to kind of get Vince's attention is always an interesting
I think moment. Jericho is going to be there, by the way. I think it's kind of a favor of you go do the cruise and, well, and I'll do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
It's actually kind of funny. Jericho's actually been pretty quiet for the last little bit here.
It's weird. He's up to something, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Bucks deals, it's, you know, 2018, the year of the contracts, right? Like, we're going to see what happens with the Bucks and Kenny's contract as well. Kenny really seems like he's going to get the rematch with Kota. They've broken up the Bullet Club. Well, we don't know yet, but he's going to get the match with Cody, and that could just be like, we're going to get our steam off, and that's it. But we'll see how the build to the Cody match is during Supercard of Honor. That's what it's on, right?
Yeah.
You're right. And then he'll... So what's left for Kenny in Japan? He's going to obviously at some point feud with Ibushi, and then he has the one more Okada match.
Yeah.
So my guess is the Ibushi match will be his Wrestle Kingdom match. And Okada and him will happen in the G1. If I had to guess how they do this.
That's a fair guess.
And like, because I at this point, too, like, I don't know who the hell's taking that belt off of Okada. Maybe Switchblade?
They're building him up.
They really are. So maybe he wins the G1?
This one's like, not as obvious.
No, like
it could be Naito again.
It could be Naito. It very well could.
This one is tricky. This one is definitely not an easy. Like, I called Naito. Well, I think most wrestling fans called Naito well heading into this. Now, I don't know. It's exciting.
I mean, I know. You're going to hate this, and a lot of the rest of the fans are going to hate this. I know they've been talking to Goldberg.
It'd be interesting. It would be a complete... I'd love to see how Goldberg does.
Like, that would be the ultimate TNA type of booking for Japan, is if they brought Goldberg in just to beat Okada and end that streak.
Yeah.
But you can tell a story about Goldberg and his undefeated streak, and about, even though his last match he lost, and
it definitely this Okada streak, this Okada run is a very it's hard now to pick who takes the title off, because it's a big deal with whoever takes the title off Okada, that man, the greatest wrestler in the world right now.
It is. That's Japan. So the next big show is the one that Jericho's wrestling on, I believe, right?
Strong Style. Well, I've got Okada's defending his title against Sandra. Mm-hmm. I think it's this weekend, I believe. Okay. But I would have to double confirm that. But it's going to be very interesting. New Japan's a very interesting beast right now, and it feels a little in flux. With Tanahashi being hurt, it feels like they're transitioning from the old guard to the new guard fully now. So it'll be interesting to see. Kenny's still owed a rematch. He beat him at the G1, so he's still owed a title match. So it'll be interesting to see when he cashes in.
And what else do we got? Bobby Lashley, anything up in that? It's kind of, it seems like he's done, but I think he's gonna, I think he'll be there by the end of Mania.
Yeah, he's Brock's final WWE program.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up. It's it's been an interesting week in the world of wrestling. We're gonna just try to get these going as much as we can. Until next time, cheers.
We haven't done this in a while. It scared me.
Enjoy the day, people.